Okay. And we may have some more people joining in the
Hi, did just someone just join?
Hi, yes, sorry, I'm calling in late. My name is Shanta Proctor.
Thank you.
And where are you from?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, good. Okay. Is it nice down there? Because we get your weather a couple days later. You've had some nasty weather, haven't you?
We have had some until recently, and it's gorgeous today. It's like high 60s. So it's really beach weather, and we're nowhere near the beach.
Nice. We'll get that in a couple days out east. So, well, we'll get started. Let me give you a couple caveats. We do these calls every 2 weeks. And you're going to have to excuse me because of a cold I picked up in Washington last week. Our next one's going to be on October 9th. So we do these every 2 weeks. And they're just 30 minutes. And we talk about the EPA job training program. We work in a cooperative agreement with EPA, and we're very close to them. We don't talk for them or represent them. Actually, our arrangement with them is we don't even have them on the calls because we want to be able to talk independently about the problems and the positives and negatives of these job training programs. The objective is to help communities get programs started. We also have grantees come on the call and talk about their programs. And also, those grantees, also things that can make their program better. So it seems to work well for everyone. I think the last round of funded grants, most of them were PLC members that came and went that were in the PLC. Normally, around the times of RFP, once it's issued, we'll talk over all of the critical issues that are make up the request, what EPA is looking for. We've been doing this since it started, since about 1990. So we're pretty familiar of what EPA is looking for in these programs. And it gives you an idea of something that you may be ready for or you're not ready for. You may want to start a program or think this is something we can do, or after listening to these calls, you may decide this we're not ready for this yet. So that's basically the objective of this program. We're a nonprofit consortia out of Iowa, Eastern Iowa Community College, called HMTRI. So this is a free call. We'll send you all post-session notes if you're not on a list or someone referred you. If you got a notice of the meetings, which we send out, and we send them out on Monday and then Wednesday, if you didn't get those notices, just drop me an email, msenew@aol.com, and msenew@aol.com, and I'll make sure you're on the list. And, of course, anyone who wants to be removed from the list, they can just say remove. We've got about 250 people that come and go from the PLC. So each week we start out, and GLOW gives us a rundown of what happened in Washington since the last discussion. So, GLOW, what's the news?
Well, actually, there wasn't a whole lot of news. They still anticipate that the next round of job training grants, the RFP, to be released in November. At least that's what they're hoping. But other than that, I don't really have any more updates from headquarters. I just wanted to thank everyone who was at our grantee meeting last week for attending and remind everyone that if you have not yet returned your questions that I had sent you in an email just in evaluating the meeting, if you could please reply to that. We use your responses to develop next year's meeting, so I would really appreciate that. And for those of you that were not able to attend the meeting, all of the information from that meeting will be put on the Brownfields Toolbox website. The PowerPoints that were used, the safety course information, everything, all the notes from all the small group sessions and the large group sessions. So once we get that out there, I will send out some emails, and I'll also notify Mike so that then he can send that out to the entire PLC group.
Great.
That's about all I have, Mike.
Really, OK. Okay. Really want to thank Glow for her effort. It really is outstanding. It takes a lot to coordinate 120 people and get everything going and organize all these. And what she did was ask everyone what they wanted to talk about in the meeting. And that's basically what we talked about. It was a one-day full session, and it was basically with EPA people in the room, what's working, what isn't working. And these were responses that people said, that this is what I want to talk about. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And she organized all that, and then, of course, setting up all the breakouts. And of course, Bruce Diamond, who's also on the call, did a wonderful job in coordinating this. There's a lot to coordinating these meetings and making them work, and it just worked wonderfully. So, again, thanks, Glow and Bruce. And, it worked great.
And thank you, too, Mike.
Thank you. Enough of that. Let's see what we can take away from this meeting that we had. Events like this don't happen too often because we're able to get the EPA people in a room and speak. They're not necessarily off the record, but they do speak what comes to their mind, and usually in unprepared notes, so we get to ask them questions. So when we're looking at what happened this last week, there's some real interesting things. One, which I think everyone on the call is interested in, because we've got a lot of people who are considering reapplying or applying, is what Glow mentioned, the November RFP. Joe Bruss, who is our project officer and is in charge of this program, is planning on issuing a new RFP, a request for a proposal, and he's saying they're shooting for November. It's called Fiscal 14, which is, they're always a little bit ahead. Their Fiscal 13 closes in a couple days, and then they go into Fiscal 14. So they're going to use Fiscal 14 money, and it's a go. We talked a little bit about sequester and a little bit about closure of the government. People were interested, you know, how is this going to affect us? And there didn't seem to be any effect on the grantees. The sequester has taken some effect. They had people in Washington had to take a day off every couple of weeks. It didn't affect the agency, I don't think, too much. Government shutdown may be a little different issue. And, of course, whatever happens in Congress, and nobody could talk about or was in a position to talk about what Congress is going to do because we don't know yet. There could be some deals made or some cuts across the board that may impact the program. The interesting thing is there's been a deficit reduction program in place, and the Fiscal 13 grant, this is a small grant by government standards, and they actually received more money than they ever have. And they were able to give up more grants this last year than they ever have. And the reason is not so much because of cutbacks, but because they've been able to get other offices within the agency to kick in money into the pot. So it's the smokestack mentality, different in the budget, different offices within EPA are funded through Congress. And some have discretionary money, and they don't have granting authority. Some have discretionary; they have money and granting authority. So, but they have the ability to kick money into this program, and they have been successful. And we don't know the amounts, but they've been successful in bringing in from other programs some dollars. Most notably, and I don't know if they're contributing money or how much is water, wastewater, but we get this from the RFP. When you look at last year's RFP, you see water, wastewater. It's very clear who's contributing as partners in the RFP. But they feel that this year it's secure. We're going to do it in November. Now, having said that, Glow, do you ever remember when they've been on time with an RFP?
I remember that they've never been on time. How's that?
last year, November went into, what, February?
I believe so, yeah.
So that happens.
Or January, maybe it was the end of January. It's sometime in that area.
That happens. So if it doesn't come out in November, I wouldn't be concerned that it's not going to happen or something's wrong in EPA or something. And particularly if there is a shutdown of the government, it may slow things down. But I think we can look forward to an RFP. Now, for those of you who are thinking of looking about what this program is going to look like, while there are changes around the fringes, if you look at the FY13, the last RFP that's available at the EPA website, it's going to be pretty close. They change. The things that might change are the emphasis on training. But most everything else stays pretty close to the same. So I would use that as a guide. What I have advised those of you who have submitted a grant and maybe didn't make it this year is to talk to your EPA job coordinator, and we can put a list of those people in their emails, call them up, and find out how you did, and if you haven't already, get a debriefing of what you need to do. And they're pretty good on this. They score these very objectively. It's difficult, and it's not the best. There's no good way of evaluating grants unless you go to every program as a site visit. So they can't do that. So they have very strict criteria, and you have to respond to every question that they have. And they grade them, and they give them numerical scores, and then they rate the scores. And if you get if you're knocked down 4 points because of your community involvement is weak, that's going to knock you out of the box. Or if you're weak on your curriculum or leveraging, and so we're going to talk about that later on in these PLCs. But if you look at the FY13 RFP, you'll get a good idea of what the 14 RFP is going to look like. We got some hints of how things might change that you might want to think about. Matthew Stanislav, who is the assistant administrator, he would be one of the number two guys in the agency, is on the President's Council for Manufacturing. And this was interesting because we had not heard this before. Matthew is very much interested in job training, but now he's also very much interested in manufacturing. Well, my guess is that manufacturing is going to be in this next RFP, and the question is, how do you tie environmental training jobs into manufacturing jobs? And I expect we're going to see something in that area in the next RFP, but until it happens, I wouldn't worry about it, but you might, something to keep in your back of your mind. And there are a lot of tie-ins. Just about every manufacturing operation has some environmental components, and there may be, it's not a path that we have defined very succinctly, but it's almost every environmental curriculum or job appears in a factory, some in more and some in less, whether it's labeling of chemicals or if it's HAZWOPER or asbestos issues or lead issues. They do occur in manufacturing. So I think Matthew is going to make a lot of tie-ins to manufacturing. Sharon Beard from NIHS was big on nanotechnology. And NIHS, National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, and EPA have an interesting relationship. NIHS is mostly involved in worker health and safety. And, of course, EPA is involved in environmental, but also in health and safety as it responds to cleaning up the environment. So you see where the crossover is, or the overlap of the two agencies. And whenever you have overlap, you always have some little issues that go on. NIHS does training through their NIHS worker training program, and they're focused on health and safety training. EPA, of course, focuses on environmental remediation and remediation training, but one of the most important components of that is health and safety. So we've got some overlap in training programs between NIHS and EPA. NIHS is getting quite involved in nanotechnology, and it's scary because they're saying, of course, the nano particles are going right through your skin and through your body, and they're starting to look at regulations and concerns about health and safety. I expect EPA is going to, but they haven't yet. And, of course, we're not funded. There is no funding in EPA yet in that area. It might be something long, a couple of years down in terms of nanotechnology and health and safety and remediation. It's not quite there yet. The third area they brought up that was kind of interesting was fracking. And, of course, fracking is occurring everywhere, and there seems to be a lot of jobs. The interesting thing is one of the regional coordinators, this is an EPA person, brought it up several times, but Matty was quite downplaying it and didn't want to go there, it appeared. I think it's a hot issue in EPA, and right now there's not money to train for fracking technology, so to speak, cleanup, but there's plenty of money for water in the training program. You could certainly, in drilling and water and hazardous materials. So there's a lot of jobs that are environmentally based that are probably relevant to the fracking site. But it's kind of a sensitive issue right now. So those are the kind of the three areas that might be coming up in the next RFP. I would say probably most likely manufacturing. As we get closer, I don't know if they'll mention anything about fracking, but it's not important whether your graduates go to work in a fracking operation or not. We're not so concerned with the regulations as we are as the jobs. Are there, you know, what kind of jobs are there in water, wastewater, hazardous materials, hand spill response, as it has to do with fracking or oil production of any kind. So that's something that we're going to keep our eyes on. Another thing that popped up in the meeting with regard to Washington or what's happening in EPA is this whole issue of re-upping grantees. It's originally when the program was started quite a few years ago, the idea was that these grants would be small startup grants and that once they got going, they would find plenty of funds from other agencies to keep the program going and to expand it. Well, unfortunately, every agency is looking the same way of giving startup funds and then let them find funds from other places. So it's become a difficult thing. It sounded good in the beginning. It's much more difficult to implement. Now, at this meeting, we do have several grantees who had federal assistance that got them started, and then they didn't need it anymore. And they're operating just fine. In fact, NJIT has been operating for 10 years or 12 years and the last 5 or 6, they have not used federal money. They have plenty of money from other sources. It's mostly state money. Not everyone is in that position, and it's something that has always been a discussion at EPA and among the grantees. We've got grantees who have been funded 4 or 5 times. Our check has been funded 5 times, probably about 4 or 5 programs have been funded 3 or 4 or 5 times. The reason they have been is they're excellent programs. They do excellent training, and they are placing people extremely well. The concern is that those programs might not be able to sustain themselves if they didn't get that federal funding. So you can see where EPA is in a little dilemma, and this is important for those of you thinking of starting this program. The thinking is EPA will give you the seed money to get the program started for 3 years, but then at that time, in fact, there's a rule that if you receive money last year, you can't reapply this year. But that's not the big question. The question is, can you ever come back to the trough? And Jeff Barnett in Region 3 has always said throughout the years and is a strong advocate of there's lots of people who want funding and we've got limited resources, so we have to give everyone a chance. And he's a big advocate of not necessarily re-upping these grants. Joe, and he made a comment that I think kind of shocked a lot of people. He said, Jeff Barnett said, I'm happy that we've got lots of grantees but that have been re-upped and a lot of times, but you have to remember that this is a startup grant and we want new people. So we expect you to become self-sustainable. And this whole sustainability issue is an issue. Many have been able to do it, and many are unable to do it. I think the way they've addressed this in the last, and this is just us talking, not EPA. I don't know that they have a policy. It looks like they take about half of their new grants that they fund and their re-ups of old, really good programs that they'd like to see re-upped and keep them going because they're such good programs. And then we get five new ones. So in either case, you've got to be prepared to look at the light at the end of the tunnel. If you've got a really good program, there's a really good chance that you're going to get you can reapply and get refunded. But many programs, we've seen some really good programs that lost their funding, program ended, and they weren't able to sustain themselves. So I think that that's really important for new grantees to think about, that in the back of their mind when they start developing partners, they think about what their partners might be able to do for them as their program matures and becomes successful. This has been a key issue. And just because you get the grant once doesn't mean you're going to get always. And chances are 50-50 that, you know, you might not get re-upped. But those were the things that I observed anyway from the EPA people that they said informally at the annual meeting. Anyone else? Glow, did anyone else take away anything that I might have missed from them?
Well, I think you covered it really well, Mike.
Those were, again, very informal and just our opinion, but it's something for you to think about as we approach November. When this RFP gets issued, it'll probably be a month or two to respond. So at this point in your stage, you want to start thinking of where you want to go with your program. And, of course, we'll get into, with the time remaining, we'll talk about what the issues that came up. And we're going to be talking about these things in future PLCs on the 9th and the 23rd of October. So I'll just go over some of them briefly, and we'll be talking about them in future calls. Partners, which I talked about in terms of looking into the future for future support, it's just so important to start thinking about who might be partnering in your community. And, of course, the Department of Labor, the WIBs, are extremely important. We've got several grantees who are workforce investment boards. Almost everyone is linked to them in some way. Sometimes they help support them. And they all leverage them. They all provide, many of them will run all their participants through the web check to see if they're eligible for assistance. If you're WIB qualified, you can get money for training materials, for boots, for all kinds of things. And as we said in the meeting, we've got stars and rocks when it comes to workforce investment boards. Some states have incredible WIBs. We have Paul Guzman out in Washington. They have an incredible WIB, and they run every applicant through to see if they are qualified for Department of Labor WIB funding. And if they're not, it doesn't mean they can't get in the program. But if they are, they get everything they're welcome and are entitled to get, which tremendously helps the program. So those of you that are in those embryonic stages of developing your program, look and see what kind of WIB you have, a workforce investment board. If it's a star or a rock, see if they're interested in working with you on one of these programs. If they show interest, you may want to partner with them. They may even want to be the fiscal partner. They're very, some are real strong, and they are the WIB. I don't know if we have any WIBs on the call, but often we do. And they are extremely powerful when they're good. You may not be fortunate, and you may not have a good workforce investment board. In that case, you're going to have to try some other things. But that would be the first place I would go when you're thinking of organizing one of these programs as a partner. You also want to bring in your training partners, probably the next most important place are your community colleges. And the nice thing about WIBs and community colleges is they have the ability to support programs even if there is no federal assistance. So these are programs that might morph into the community college. We've had several that they may not be doing the EPA job training programs, but they've developed a program at the community college that has essentially continued the program that EPA started. So they're really important, and they can provide all kinds of training, and they make great partners. So I would certainly contact the WIB and the community college. Another very important place to look is what other job training programs do you have in your community? It's very important, and most of the sustainable programs, these are the ones that go on and on. Many of them are linked to other job training programs. Youth Build is certainly one. Another one might be Salvation Army, Youth Corps, the New Jersey Youth Corps type programs. We had a representative from the Federal Conservation Corps, and they're developing some new programs. So the way that works is people who are interested in starting a job development training program in the environment will go to one of the Youth Build programs or construction programs or the Conservation Corps programs or the Salvation Army programs, and they'll say, would you like to partner with us? And the advantage of that is you're going to get all the resources of those programs, and the EPA program becomes an add-on. So rather than trying to start a program from scratch, you're basically sticking on your program and attracting funding to bring to theirs. And the beautiful thing about that is they've got their fiscal house in order, they've got their fiscal agents, they've got their auditing in order, they've got all of the tracking and many, many services, social services that you would have to start from scratch with. So if you can line those things up at these early stages, you're going to be way ahead of the game in terms of partnering with people. And, of course, they talked about definitely working with the county commissioners. We've got cities who are partners and cities who are fiscal agents, actually. We've got you want to partner with the court system or the Metro Development Commission in your community. So there are many partners you want to look at these early stages. You want to see who can be your strategic partners that will at future date provide you with sustainability potential. And those are some of the ones I mentioned. And this is the time to go to those and say, would you be interested in partnering? This is what we could bring to the table with EPA, and this is what we can do for you, and this is what you need to help us with. And whether it's training facilities or all sorts of things. You got to do that now because that takes a while, because they've got to go to their boards and say, are you interested in getting environmental training? And they're going to say yes or no. So that takes a little bit of time. You want to get that thing started as soon as possible. So those were the main things in terms of that. I'm going to, in the notes, I'm going to talk about and put up some of the talking points on the advisory boards and obstacles to partnering, drug testing, curriculum, placement issues. But we're going to be talking about these in the future PLCs. So I wanted to today in this session talk about some of the things that you might not hear later on from some of our other speakers. So on the 9th of October, we'll have another grantee talking about some of the issues we talked about at the annual meeting, whether it's advisory boards or obstacles to keeping your advisory board motivated, or whether it's the drug testing issues or a recruitment of your students or placement of your students. So, but we'll talk about that later. And as I said, and we promise, we keep these down to 30 minutes. So does anyone have any questions or about this, the meeting that we had in Washington, or anything about that, or even about the RFP that might be coming out soon? Any questions or comments? Okay. Well, for those of you, we'll reconvene for another 30 minutes on October 9th, and we'll send out notices. And if you know anyone who wants to come in on the call, we'll have one of our grantees who has been outstanding in one of the particular areas that we're very concerned about in this program talk about their experiences. So with that, you all have a and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
So you all take care now. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day. Thank you.